In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go
Time to talk movies. Alan Adams from The Main Edge joining us for Pass the Popcorn. Happy Monday there, Al.
And to you too, sir.
I had a fun time yesterday. Our annual rotisserie baseball draft, a little bit different with half the crew in person, the other half remote. It had its hiccups along the way, but always a fun time.
It was great, and you know, honestly, Rich, like it was like I was prepared for a full blown disaster. Like I was ready for that to happen, and the fact that we managed to get it all done. It took a little longer, hour and a half, 2 hours longer than it usually does. But considering the technical aspects and, you know, the fact that we had to talk through some stuff at the beginning, I thought everybody handled it pretty well, to be truthful.
Absolutely. And the coffee brandies, your crew is, you were already loaded going in, but well, you snagged some good guys. You picked up, like you needed more great pitching. You picked up Zach Greinke. You got the Blue Jays closer. Young guy Taylor Trammell, who I read earlier today, looks like he's going to be starting outfielder in Seattle.
Yeah, like that was the big one for me. I was actually kind of surprised that I was able to snag him for as cheaply as I did. But that's the joy of it, man. When you're at the end of the auction like that, like, you know, everyone's only got a few slots left, and they've only got so much money. And if you play your cards right, you're able to sort of slide a deep sleeper sneaky favorite in there. And that's I got a couple of those on my team. Whether they play out, however they play out, you know, we'll wait and see. But again, it's just one of those things where even doing it in the weird way that we did, it was still sort of like at least a half step back towards something resembling normalcy. And those are always, we're seeing more and more of those these days. And they're just really sort of welcome, sort of brightening kind of moments.
Yeah. And I think just talking about and getting ready for the draft and then yesterday's experience, I'm finding myself pretty excited for the baseball season.
You know, I did not really engage with the baseball season last year because I was struggling with some ethical concerns with regards to whether they should be playing at all. And I think some of those concerns still stand. But the reality is, these organizations have had a year to sort of develop their protocols, and man, it sure seems like they're at least trying to do the right thing with regards to all of this. And, you know, I mean, just by sheer demographics, the reality is that there are probably a fair number of guys in these organizations who aren't all that interested in keeping it safe. And so having it mandated from up on high, I think makes a big difference. And, you just wish everybody the best of health and, hope that the Red Sox, outperform the, what did Chad Finn have him at? 84 wins?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right? I think that's probably about right. But, in 162 games, all you got to do is reverse course on, five or six of those, and then, you know, you're right in the thick of things. So, fingers crossed, that's the kind of season we're going to have.
I think he checked out your picks. It seemed like his American League picks were pretty in line with yours.
Pretty close. Basically, I think the big difference was we flip-flopped the Twins and White Sox in the Central. I don't know how you don't pick the Blue Jays to make the playoffs, but I mean, you know, I suppose that there are any number of things that could go awry, and if those young players don't keep advancing, who knows? But I know I'm counting on a big offensive year from the Toronto Blue Jays if I'm going to have any hope in this year's Bangor Drum Slowly League.
No question about that. All right, let's talk movies. You saw three this weekend, and it looks like it's a split. One very good, one very bad, and one in the middle. Where should we begin?
You know what? Let's start in the middle and get that one taken care of. So I saw this movie called Senior Moment, and I don't know if you've heard anything about this film, but it's it stars William Shatner. You're starting at a certain place right there, and you have to be in a certain place to want to experience this. I'm not necessarily a connoisseur of the old person comedy, but those movies are appearing more and more frequently. And I have to admit to a certain amount of affection regarding those sorts of movies. I don't know. There's something about watching like old pros just kind of hang out. Like even if you know, even if the world in which they're inhabiting doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense. But I guess like these movies don't have to be good to charm me. That's what I'm saying. And this is a perfect example of that because there's a lot wrong with this movie. Like it's stiff. It's inconsistent. The choices that are made with the cameras are weird, and there's this just overall sense of credulousness throughout the movie that doesn't really click. But you're watching William Shatner do his thing, and he's got some wonderful co-stars like Christopher Lloyd is in this movie, Jean Smart, you know, and they're just doing what they do in a very low-key, kind of low-stakes manner, and it's fun. The basic gist is Shatner plays a guy named Victor Martin. He's a former NASA test pilot living in Palm Springs. Like he's a lifelong bachelor, so he's constantly cruising for ladies, even as he you know as he's getting older. The only real constants in his life are his best friend Sal, played by Christopher Lloyd, who's basically just around to be weird and Christopher Lloyd. As near as I can tell, we don't really get a lot of development in the Sal character. The other constant is his car, a classic Porsche, that he really enjoys driving a little too fast. And wouldn't you know it, that lead foot gets him in a little bit of trouble. He's been lucky so far, due to his positive relationship with local law enforcement, but there's a crackdown on moving violations, particularly for seniors, now that there's a new DA in town, played by Beth Littleford. Who's great, but you know she only shows up in a couple of scenes. She's kind of underutilized. Vic makes some poor choices, winds up getting caught drag racing, and gets his license suspended and his car impounded, and so now he has to take the bus. But wouldn't you know it, that's where he meet-cutes with a woman named Caroline. That's Jean Smart. She owns and operates a local artsy cafe, and she makes what is billed as the best strudel in town. Sort of an artistic free spirit meets fast driving Lothario. Like you get where this is going. as to whether it gets there. Well, I mean, you know, it all comes down to whether they're going to be able to come to terms with their deep down differences. I think you know how it's going to work. That's that. And I mean, there are some subplots. There's one where Vic kind of has this creepy kind of courtship with a much younger model. He at one point enlists the help of some random ponytail weirdo he meets at court to give him the driving test or something. It's really very unclear. And the reality is, like, most of the movie is kind of unclear. Like, the internal logic of this movie is very flexible and not in a good way. Like, it just doesn't make sense all the time. Like, there's always this feeling that a step skipped along the way and we're never really let in on what that step was. So it's all a little disjointed. Like, it's fine. Like, Shatner and Smart are nice together. Like, they're, it's nice to see relationships that at least appear to be in the ballpark of age appropriate. Although, and I did some research.
Let's say about a 20-year difference isn't there.
That's just it. Like, Hollywood being Hollywood, you know, Shatner's still 20 years older than she is. Granted, he's 90. But they're very comfortable with each other, and that's half the battle when it comes to chemistry. The rest of the stuff kind of feels like maybe it's from a different movie. Like, and I don't know what the director was going for. Like, there's this weird mishmash of styles. Like, there are points where it feels like it was shot on like an obsolete iPhone. Like, there are these odd angles and repetition, and there's just very little rhyme or reason behind the choices that are being made. And again, I say this movie's got a lot of problems, and it does. But the charms of Shatner are not one of them. Even when he's clearly only half paying attention to what he's doing, and that is much of the time, he's very engaging. Though it does warrant noting that watching him like interact, like actually physically interact with people, it seems as though he may have forgotten how actual human beings like touch each other. Like it's just like it's just weird and. It's difficult to articulate, but you'll know it when you see it. Jean Smart's great. She knows what she needs to do to maximize her end of things, and she just does it. Like it's a professional who's very good at what she does. And you know, and then, like I mentioned, I wanted more from Christopher Lloyd. Like, yeah, of course. Like he's older now. He's lost a little bit off his fastball, but you could still see glints of that sort of wonderful manic energy that he's so good at. And you just want him to sort of let a little bit more of that out. There are other people in this movie, but none of them matter. Like, it's just one of those movies where it's the sort of movie that really lives up to its name. Like, and you'll be in the middle of watching it, and you'll be like, how did I get in this room? What am I doing here? it's the cinematic equivalent of not remembering where your keys are, Rich.
That's the story on Senior Moment. What's next?
You know, just because I want to give it some, I want to spend some real time with it. We're gonna save the good one for last.
Okay.
Well, which would you want? Do you want the good one or you want the bad? You want the good news or the bad news, Rich?
Well, let's go with the bad news and finish on a high note.
That sounds good. So I watched this movie, Bad Trip, and. Like, and you know me, Rich. You know that deep down, in my chest beats the heart of a 14-year-old boy. Like, there are certain, I have certain, you know, tastes that are arrested in early adolescence, and I don't apologize for that. But you know, so I was intrigued by the idea of a sort of prank-driven movie, you know, starring Eric Andre. You know, sometimes you just know it's going to be bad. Like, you settle in, start watching, and within just minutes, you're like, oh, the next hour and a half is not going to be the good time that I anticipated it would be. in fact, you might say, you're going to have a bad trip. So this is a new one from Netflix. It stars Eric Andre, Lil Rel Howery, and Tiffany Haddish. Basically, a feature-length distillation of the sort of weird cringe comedy ethos that Eric Andre brings to the table. It's like a collection of sort of hidden camera stunts and pranks, like, stitched together through a bare bones kind of narrative. And it's not great, Rich. and again, I'll concede the very real possibility that this movie just isn't for me. That this particular brand of, like, aggressive absurdism just doesn't push my humor buttons. But this is—it's not even really a movie so much as, like, this deluge of self harm and personal space invasion that occasionally features some not very good dialogue. I mean, look, sure, I laughed a couple of times, but not nearly enough to justify how long I spent watching something that would boil down to its essence is basically just some comedians just farting around. like, I'll give you the plot, such as it is. Eric Andre plays Chris Carey, a dude living in Florida, working menial jobs to get by. He's detailing a car one day, catches sight of his high school crush, Maria, played by Michaela Conlon. There's an embarrassing incident involving a vacuum, and then he's left to wonder what might have been. Meets up later with his best friend, Bud, that's Lil Rel Howery, who's struggling with his own issues, particularly the trying to get up the nerve to stand up to his sister, Trina, that's Tiffany Haddish, an aggressive ex-con who bullies him at every opportunity. And so Chris and Bud make a pact that by that time next year, they're going to have moved on and embarked on a grand adventure. One year later, nothing has changed. They're still working dead-end jobs, living the same lives, but the aforementioned Maria walks into Chris's new place of employment. This time it's a smoothie shop. He finally screws up his courage and says hello. They have a conversation. She says she lives in New York and that he should check out her art gallery the next time he's there. To this guy, that obviously means she's into him and he should road trip to New York. Talks his buddy into accompanying him, and the two of them borrow Bud's sister's car, because she's in prison, so it's not an issue. Only she escapes. And then she finds out what they've done, swears to take back what's hers, exacts some revenge in the process, blah, 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 blah. We get this meandering trip up the East Coast, the two dudes making sort of pit stops along the way, engaging with the world in weird and often unpleasant and off-putting ways. Trina's close behind, stopping and accosting strangers on the street at every turn in an effort to track them down. And it's a long and winding journey whose conclusion is pretty much the same as the rest of the trip. Weird, inexplicably violent, and ultimately a colossal waste of everybody's time. I'm not going to go into detail regarding the pranks and the confrontations that are basically this film's primary reason to be, largely because I have a principled and fundamental opposition to spoilers. Like, if you do watch the movie, I would advise you not to. But if you do, it's almost certainly going to be for these sort of set pieces. So I'm not going to ruin it from you. But, like, just know there's nudity and a lot of fake blood, some car crashes. There's a big musical number and a lot of confrontations with strangers, like both in individual and group levels. All of it basically just to create chaos. I don't know, man. Like, when absurdism exists solely for the sake of being absurd, it's just nonsense, noise. And that's what kind of this movie is. Like, look, so many times this film leaves you, the viewer, feeling kind of uncomfortable alongside the participant. And I firmly believe that there is a place for the induction of discomfort in comedy. I really do. But there has to be some sort of foundation. Otherwise, you're just being a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of where this movie lands. Like, it's just a bunch of people filming themselves being jerks to people who don't know they're being filmed. And I'm not going to go into performances because none of these people are really actors, and that goes about how you'd expect. The highlight, honestly, is the closing credits, because we get to see the people's reactions when they find out that whatever insane thing they were just subjected to wasn't actually real. And for the most part, everyone handles it with good humor. But I do say for the most part, because there's one dude who is ready to let the whole crew know exactly what he thinks. I think with his fists. Like, it's not clear, but that dude looks like he's ready to fight. But yeah, this is just it's a misfire on every level. Like, this movie wishes it was Jackass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just it's just a real wet fart of a movie experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that says it all. All right, let's move on to the good one then and finish strong with French Exit.
Yeah, man. Like, I didn't know a ton about this movie. Like, I think I first heard of it when they announced the Golden Globe nominations and Michelle Pfeiffer was nominated for Best Actress Musical or Comedy for this movie. And so I was curious, obviously, and you know, and it was, but it's interesting. Like, when you don't know a ton about a movie going into it, like you still have certain expectations. It's like, you know, movies generally are pretty straightforward. Like, you go to a drama, you expect emotions. You go to see a comedy, you're ready to laugh. You walk into a superhero movie, there are superheroes. Like, there are certain baseline expectations. But every once in a while, you get this movie that will just upend your understanding of the world in which it operates. Doesn't really change anything, but you're left with these sort of fundamental questions about what you've already seen and what you're going to see. And that's the kind of movie that French Exit is. Like, it's this really smart movie. It's directed by a guy named Azazel Jacobs from a screenplay that a guy named Patrick DeWitt. He adapted the screenplay from his own novel from 2018, same name. It's this wonderfully dry, sort of witty comedy that takes a very surreal turn. And it introduces these sort of unexpected elements that really start to enhance the overall experience. And again, it's a crackerjack cast. And like I said, not necessarily what you might expect it to be, but by subverting those expectations, it actually gives you an experience that I would argue is better than the one you thought you were going to get in the first place. The basic gist is Michelle Pfeiffer stars as Frances Price. She's a New York City socialite whose seemingly never-ending financial reserves have finally sort of ended, despite the efforts of many around her to sort of guide her toward fiscal responsibility in the years prior. She simply continued living the high society life to which she'd grown accustomed, even after the unfortunate death of her husband, a guy named Franklin, played by Tracy Letts. So her closest companion is her son, Malcolm, played by Lucas Hedges, who has basically been by her side steadily since Franklin passed away. But he's kind of starting to emerge from his mother's weird shadow. Like, he's even engaged to be married to a woman named Susan, played by Imogen Poots, but he hasn't actually told his mother yet, which is a point of, you know, understandable contention with his fiance. So the money's gone, and Frances has nowhere else to turn, so she sells as much of her, like, of the stuff, the art, the antiquities, all that stuff, like, on the down low, to sort of at least kind of partially avoid the looming creditors. But she's got a childhood friend named Joan, played by Susan Coyne, who, you know, just happens to have a spare apartment gathering dust in Paris, like you do.
Sure.
And offers it up for Frances to sort of get out of the city and lay low. Frances assumes that Malcolm will come with her. And much to Malcolm's fiancé's chagrin, he does. so they make the crossing by a cruise ship, because of course they do. They've got just clothes, piles of cash, and a cat named Small Frank. While on the ship, Malcolm meets a woman named Madeline, played by Danielle McDonald, who works as a medium on the ship, tarot card readings for tourists and that sort of thing. But she might actually have legitimate paranormal gifts, which we discover after the arrival in Paris, when the cat gets out, needs to be tracked down, they hire a private detective to find Madeline, where they have a seance. And that's when we learn that Small Frank is named after Franklin, the deceased husband, because he is Franklin, or at least the reincarnated spirit of Franklin. And thanks to the medium, he can directly communicate with everyone. Like, it's not just like they're hearing stuff. Like literally everyone can hear the voice of the cat when the medium is there, and nobody treats it like it's weird. Like, it's just one of those things. It's taken very much in stride. And so that's the turn. It's like, oh, it's this kind of movie. And so you're left like, well, what did I miss when I was watching it earlier? Like, how is that going to change what's happening going forward? It's just this weird little click where the entire tenor of the movie just shifts in this, like, you know, in like 30 seconds. It's just like, oh, I'm watching something very different than I thought I was watching. And it's nice to be surprised like that. You know, I hadn't heard much about the movie, but what I had heard was pretty positive. Like, I hadn't heard about this turn. And again, I'm not viewing it as a spoiler, because it's prominently featured not only in every review that I've taken a peek at, but in the promotional materials. It's like, oh, okay, so, you know, it's not like they're keeping it a secret that the cat is the, you know, the reincarnated spirit of the deceased, you know, patriarch or whatever. But you know, it was just I didn't know, and I thought it was pretty interesting. You know, honestly, like, I feel like knowing about that is just going to make people want to see it more. Like, it would have worked on me. Like, but it's so interesting, because one of the keys to successful surrealism is to craft a world in which that strangeness is sort of treated as normal by those who are within it. And this movie does a really good job of sort of grounding the people. Like everything's just a little askew, but the fact that skewing is consistent allows us to sort of immerse ourselves in that strangeness. It's not like there's no meta commentary and no one's winking at you or anything like that. And by treating the world of the film as genuine, those skewed aspects are so much easier to engage with. Aesthetically, it's really interesting, like cool angles and lighting choices, like, you know, softening and sharpening the oddity of the proceedings. The director, Zazzle Jacobs, his dad is actually a pretty well-known experimental filmmaker named Ken Jacobs. And you can kind of see the influences of the father on the son in a pretty cool way. Again, Michelle Pfeiffer, big surprise, phenomenal. Like, I mean, the Globes are a joke, but she earned her nomination for sure. Like, she's just so good. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's, you see her in something like this and you're reminded, oh man, yeah, why doesn't Michelle Pfeiffer have an Oscar? And the reality is, it's because she periodically just walks away from Hollywood for years at a time, because she doesn't feel obligated to deal with the bullcrap. And there's something very noble about that. But yeah, she does a great job bringing this character to life. Lucas Hedges, who I love, like, I think he's one of the most talented actors of his generation, like, just one of the best young actors working today, and he's wonderful here. Like, really, like, check out the kid's IMDb over the last 5 years. Like, he's on a heck of a run, you know, and he just builds this character out of codependence and neuroses and maybe a little bit of Oedipal issues. And the two of them are great together. They have this wonderful chemistry. The supporting cast, too, just across the board, great. Tracy Letts in particular is fun. I won't go into specifics. You'll see for yourself. But yeah, this movie surprised me. You know, it's for the first half pretty straightforward. But in a way where you're just like, something's not, you can't put your finger on it, but you know something's a little bit off. And then you find out what that something is. And so now you're embracing the weirdness that's coming at you and reflecting on what you already saw through the lens of that weirdness. Like I'm still thinking about it. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, like, that's a sign of real quality filmmaking.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to seeing it. French Exit with Michelle Pfeiffer, by the way, week from today. Michelle's sister Dee Dee comes back with us on Downtown to make her second appearance and talk more about her hit series Big Sky, directed by her brother-in-law David E. Kelly.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah, that's great.
There you go. Small world, indeed. Thank you, Alan. We'll do it again come Wednesday if you're up for it.
Yeah. Well, just be warned, it is the April Fool's Day edition.
Can't wait. Can't wait. We'll allot extra time. See you then.
All right, bud.
Thanks, Alan. Alan Adams of The Main Edge with Pass the Popcorn.